This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here on WWCR 5070 around the world, and we're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Got a great program message for you tonight. Want you to stay tuned. We've got a lot of interesting things that are going on in the world. Of course, you know that America has been impacted by a lot of tragic events. Beginning with 2001, we had what is known as a terrorist attack, and it really brought shock and awe to our nation. We haven't recovered since, and don't look like, unless there's a divine intervention, that we're going to. But ladies and gentlemen, there's something deeper. The roots of our problems run deeper. This is a nation in moral decay. We're like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're like the times of the empires of the past. Rome comes to mind, when they were miscegenated and mixed to the point that she lost her greatness and her empire. Well, if you look at America and all the illegal aliens that are coming in, and ladies and gentlemen, it seems like the federal court system is courting these illegals. We have made feeble attempts, if you really want to know, about keeping them out unwanted. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Statue of Liberty that was set in our harbor for the immigrants abroad, with a statement, give us your masses, your huddled masses, your poor, and all these things. And so it became a slogan for America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have not screened properly. We've taken anything that you can chase, drag, or pull. It's sort of like a used car lot. America's become used by the people that I believe that have going to wreak havoc or bring ruination to our country. This nation was built one brick at a time. One log was cut one at a time, and one road was built one at a time. And so our greatness was by a original root people of immigrants that came in here. We're talking about the white Western Europeans that came and made this, carved out one of the greatest and most prosperous and most blessed nations in the world since the history being kept and records being kept. But we now, it looks like to me, and I'm just one opinion, and this is the opinion that I believe that could be verified through statistics, that if we keep on encouraging the miscegenation of our peoples and our race, I believe that we are in for what Pat Buchanan says: by 2050, we will be a minority, and by maybe 2060, we will be the doormat for the New World Order. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I could concur with that 100%. Shock and Ruin, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'd like to play you a clip from Lou Dobbs on CNN when he is talking about a federal judge permitting these illegal aliens for, they were brought into court for using someone else's Social Security numbers to obtain an identity. And the Shock and Ruin, ladies and gentlemen, we just want you to listen to it so that you would know what's going on in the country. And I do believe that this is a prime example.
Even by today's standards in our federal judiciary, a shocking decision. A federal judge in Tennessee has ruled that using fake Social Security cards as identification to obtain employment is not illegal. The case could affect, of course, federal programs that verify the legal status of workers based on those very same credit cards or Social Security cards. Bill Tucker has our report.
It was an unexpected delay. Two illegal aliens came to federal court in Chattanooga, Tennessee, expecting to plead guilty to charges of using false Social Security numbers to get hired at the local Pilgrim's Pride plant that was raided by federal authorities in April. But the judge wouldn't let them enter their pleas. Instead, he told the court he didn't think any law had necessarily been broken. He cited an earlier federal court ruling in Tennessee on another immigration case. That ruling was based on arguments made in 2003 by defense lawyers for Tyson Foods. They argued that Social Security cards are not listed as identity documents under one section of immigration law, and the court agreed, dismissing the identity charges.
The judge in this case this week, he actually did the right thing. He pointed out that, hey, there's a precedent that's 5 years old in the Eastern District of Tennessee that you guys need to know about. So this judge didn't do anything wrong.
Maybe not, but there are now questions as to whether this week's action will jeopardize the federal programs such as E-Verify, which uses a person's Social Security number to verify employment status.
Now, officials from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, and the Department of Justice all seem stunned today by this decision and action by the judge and declined comment because it's ongoing litigation. But some immigration lawyers that I spoke with today argued that the Social Security number obviously is an identification document because under Social Security law, it is an identity document. In lieu, there are severe crimes associated with the misuse and fraudulent use of Social Security documents. Just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
You know, there are times when I think the entire court system has completely lost its mind. What could the judge be thinking? And Chris Kobach, the attorney,
right,
saying that he did the right thing. I mean, are all of these people on both sides of this argument, because they're lawyers, completely mindless?
In 2003, an argument was made in that court.
I heard that.
But what's
the point? Either it is an identification document or it isn't.
I agree.
And whether it's an identification document or not is not dependent on what an immigration element of the immigration code says or doesn't say. I mean, that's an absurdity.
You're not going to get an argument from me, and I certainly can't explain what's going on in the court, Luke.
So, you know, maybe all of the open borders advocates are right, all the amnesty advocates are right. Maybe there really isn't such a thing as an illegal in this country. You know, I mean, just no problem. Maybe we can just, you know, sort of throw our hands up here. These are some of the dumbest people in the history of the judiciary. And that takes into account some pretty dumb people. But, you know, we're the real fools for putting up with this. I mean, this is going on as if it's reasonable conduct. I mean, it's as if we have lost any contact with reality in this country when it comes to the issue of law, order, decency, sovereignty of the nation, and the responsibility of a court. What an annoying mess. You have nothing to add?
I couldn't agree with you more.
Bill Tucker, thank you very much. Good grief. Keep us posted on that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem. There's a deeper root cause. If you, those of you who know, actually know what's going on in the world, you'll know the purpose of that ruling. It is intentional by those who have brought about the miscegenation of our country and the permission of the great social engineered experiments beginning, ladies and gentlemen, in earnest around 1938 and 39. The experiments of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 1930s. The floodgates of immigration were open to alien immigrants from Asia, South and Central America, and Africa. A Jew named Elma Lazarus wrote the words later engraved on the foundation of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your poor, your tired, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And they came. And the refuge from all countries lured not so much by freedom as by a free handout given to them by brainwashed white Israelite Christians who did not realize that they were destroying themselves in the process. Brainwashed. That word brainwashed comes up quite often now as it is attached to the thought process of a huddled mass within the borders of America trying to protect himself. Did you know in the cities that there's nothing but armed camps and that you're not safe to go out at night in certain areas and that the main arteries are choked with drive-by shootings, and that you never know from one night to the next if there's going to be drug-induced car chases by the police as they go down the road barreling with your life at stake, ladies and gentlemen. There's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people killed simply because they were in the wrong place at the right time. If you look in the Bible, and that's what we're going to tend to get into tonight in our miscegenation series that we are talking about here, a very expressive term can be found in the book of Jude. In the New Testament, when he describes the great sin of Sodom as going after strange flesh, this is a very descriptive term. The Sodomites were given to ever imaginable sexual perversion. And just as they are today, if you will look into the Bible, and the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, has now been branded as a hate literature book. And most of the modern preachers today will not touch the important subjects and the hard issues that it's going to take to restore our country. Otherwise, this country is going to have to be filled continuously with the filth that was there in those days. These Sodomites were Canaanites, according to Genesis 10, 15, and 16. It is most significant that Cain is mentioned within this context in Jude 1, verse 11. Note that Jude first mentions that the angels which kept not their first estate. Now, we just got through with a series of the star serpents. Ladies and gentlemen, they're behind all of the evil corruption of Genesis chapter 6 that brought the first destructive judgment upon this earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in prime time, in an era of the last days when Christ warned us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Going back to Noah chapter 6 in Genesis, we find this strange affiliation of earthlings and starseed. Now, I've spoke about this in great detail, and so there's no argument that that's what began to be the problem. Well, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the Son of Man. Are these star serpents that I spoke about in the three-hour series that I did live here on WWCR around the world, are they due to return? Well, I think so. Well, now let's go to the second part of this as Jude picks up again this argument when he speaks of the Sodomites who were destroyed for the same wickedness as to going after strange flesh. This is mentioned in the days of Lot. Sodom and Gomorrah, if you look at it as a society, a permissive society of mixtures. Ladies and gentlemen, and we know that Lot was a righteous man. The Bible says he was. He was delivered purposely for seed's sake out of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife, remember, looked back. And the Bible said, he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Sodomites who were mentioned in the same breath as Cain. Now, is there a particular people today? Does Cain's race still exist? Well, you don't hear any of the preachers talking about them. Anything that you can chase, drag, and pull into the pulpits or areas of holy matrimony, the preachers will marry them and join them together. They do not check. Just like now that the federal court ruling was for these illegal immigrants that came in using fake Social Security numbers for ID. Now, he ruled it wasn't against the law. Well, you just let some good red-blooded American go down the highway and enter into some of these government institutions where they demand your Social Security number for ID and for issue purposes, and you give them a fake number, and you see what happens to you, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Notice, woe unto them, verse 11, because they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the wickedness of Cain, does it appear this day and time that we're in the same? Does Cain still influence? Is there a people on the earth that are kin, blood related to Cain? If so, where are they? Well, we're not permitted to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. It's against the law to single out anybody now upon the earth and to speak evil of them in public gatherings, especially in the church. Why? Because that's a political issue, not a religious issue, they say. Well, we're going to get into the Bible and see if it is a biblical issue. And let me remind you, the Bible has been taken out so that we can protect state and church, if you will, not mix the two. And the interpretation of the federal judges, again, have told us that we cannot say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's got God. And yet, those same judges will carry money in their pocket, says, "In God we trust." That's a double standard here, but they have the power and the authority. If you will notice those that kept not their first estate, these are the angels, the star serpents that I talked about, and they encouraged the miscegenation of all of the bloodlines in the earth. Well, did Yahweh have an intention for that to happen? No, when he made everything, he set boundaries and saw that it was good. He made everything. He made the white race, the black race, the yellow race, and the races that we have original. He made them. The sin is to miscegenate those races and cross their blood. It's biblically unsound, the spiritual principle, and it's condemned in the Bible. We're going to get into that and show you. C.R. Dickey, commenting on Acts 17:26, and I've spoke about this before, hath made, and here's the quote of the comment on Acts 17:26, "He hath made of one blood all nations for them that dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Now, without quoting the latter part of the verse, some people make an ado over the first clause and use it glibly to overthrow all previous Bible teaching concerning racial separation. The key word used to prove the oneness of mankind is blood. That's what they adhere to. Yet, actually, it proves nothing because the word blood does not appear in any of the original texts. They were added, and they were added for a purpose. Again, just like the federal judge who made the ruling that it was not against the law to use fake ID for illegal immigrants, and yet would send you to jail if you did so, and would be highly insulted in the court if they demand your Social Security. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in that day where we have the time of trouble, and sin entered the world, and when men live together, wickedness increased, and after 10 generations, we find in the days of Noah, the 10th generation, we find the end was justified. Now, because that men began to mate and crossbreed with angelic starseed, or a better word would be star serpents from the heavens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you take the Hebrew word that says that we are a special and should be a separate people, because the descendants of Abraham were called a special people. That would be Jacob, who is a special people, and they went into slavery in Egypt, and were delivered through Yahweh's miraculous intervention using Moses as a human tool. He instructed these people that he called his own, "Neither shall thou make marriages with them." This is the non-Israelites. "Thy daughter shall thy not give unto his son, or his daughter shall not take thee unto thy son." And that's pretty specific. And yet today, preachers will not preach that message in Deuteronomy chapter 7. You know why? Well, because we're all one. We are the world. We are the mixture of Genesis chapter 6 in the 10th generation. We are those of Sodom and Gomorrah. and yet they were righteous among them. There are still people that are literally, which is the word holy, which in the Hebrew is kodesh, which literally means to be set apart and special. Israel was Yahweh's ambassador to the rest of the world, carrying his message of redemption for those who would accept him as king. It was to show that Israel was an example, and that race mixing or miscegenation is not permitted, and there are several reasons why that Yahweh brought this into the scriptures that we're going to discuss. It cripples Yahweh's original design. To tamper with what he made and saw it was good, be it white, black, red, or yellow, it doesn't matter. If you take the original composition of blood and cross it, and the Bible is used exclusively by these New Ager, these modern day 501(c) preachers and prophets, ambassadors of sin and rebellion, a compromise. Oh, it's all okay. There's no harm. But if it cripples Yahweh's original plan that he had for every race, and it would actually destroy his original purpose, then the distinct characteristics which would make these races different from all others, while at the same time making them an important part of his plan, race mixing would then be an attempt to destroy God's plan for the races. And ladies and gentlemen, I am not prejudiced. I am not because of the truth. If you're prejudiced, that means that you have an objection to the way Yahweh made you. Well, if you are pleased with what you made and you keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world and the Word is in you, then you have a right to fellowship Yahweh because everything he made was good. It's for a purpose. Number two, Yahweh created all things to produce kind after kind. This is a biological law which is as strong and lasting as the law of gravity or the law of harvest, both of which can easily be demonstrated as true. If you really study the Bible, to miscegenate violates the inherent blueprint for the genes of each human body. In spite of liberal arguments, ladies and gentlemen, you go to the liberal colleges and listen to the liberal professors. These are communist inclined, and the court system is loaded with liberal communist manifestos. Their manifest is becoming very apparent in the earth. Let me give you a poem that was written by a Nobel Prize for Literature, and that was a Kipling, and he died in 1936. He was born in 1865, right at the point of the end of the civil rights struggle in America. And he wrote this poem as a tribute. The Stranger Within My Gate is the title. The Stranger Within My Gate, he may be true or kind, but he does not talk my talk, and I cannot feel his mind. I see the face and the eyes and the mouth, but not the soul that is behind. The stranger within my gate, he may be evil or good, but I cannot tell what powers control, what reasons sway his mood, nor when the gods of his far-off land shall repossess his blood to his soul. This was my father's belief, and this also is mine. Let the corn be all of one sheaf, and the grapes be all of one vine, ere our children's teeth are set on edge by bitter bread and wine. Ladies and gentlemen, Rudyard Kipling, Nobel Prize for Literature, 1865. 1936. Let's go to the book of Exodus and let me show you just for a moment the things that Yahweh taught his people and things that were standard issue of his word. He won't return void. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't care what kind of a modern society you live in, the old-fashioned way remains the best way. And a mixed multitude went up with the house of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now here we have, ladies and gentlemen, a very mysterious statement. This word is norki. And we'll give you the Strong's application to it and show you that they were mixed-blooded people. These are the same people that went up with the house of Israel, 600,000 approximately, and a mixed multitude came up out of the land of Egypt with them. Now, who were they? They were not true blue. The Bible says they were mixed. That word is norki, meaning a mixed blood. They came up, and they caused the children of Israel, 3 days' journey out of Egypt, they begin to murmur and complain. And these mixed multitude of Exodus 12, verse 37 and 38, these were the same ones that provoked or caused or sowed dissension within the ranks of the righteous seed of Jacob. Jacob was a family of one blood. But this mixed multitude, this manzer mixture, were complaining. And the Bible says that they caused the children of Israel to murmur. Well, are we not now a murmuring and complaining nation of whiners, as the good brother from down in Texas said and was removed from the Republican campaign? He was the co-chairman of McCain's Republican effort to become president. And he talked about the people of America as a nation of whiners. Ladies and gentlemen, we are slow to do good, but we are very quick to murmur and complain. That's a trend of the house of Israel, and we are prone to murmur and complain. Now notice in Nehemiah chapter 3. Now it came to pass that when they heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Now I want to go back over that and bring this home to you in context. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 3. Now if you look at Nehemiah from that perspective, you'll know by reading and studying 9 through 13 of Nehemiah. And also, if you will go to the book of Ezra chapter 9, and read there, you'll find out what Pastor Buddy is telling you about tonight. That the nation that mixes its blood will fall to the ground. It's inevitable because the Bible says by mixing the blood, it brings confusion. Well, the Bible said, for there's confusion, there's ever evil work. Is there a master race of servant people? Do they know how to bring confusion into a people that it seeks to destroy? I think so. And it came to pass that when they heard the law, that they separated from the mixed multitude. Well, let me give it to you again. And it came to pass that when Israel heard the law, they separated from the mixed multitude. Evidently, somebody today is not hearing the law. If you love me, keep my commandments. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, the 18th, 19th verse, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I ain't come to destroy, I have come to fulfill. Ladies and gentlemen, now in the New Testament, we have a love everybody attitude. Are we to believe that Yahweh wants us to love the devil? Well, he said to love your enemies. Well, wait a minute. Let's define enemies. Your enemies shall be they of your own household. You love them good enough to tell them that they're doing wrong when they begin to miscegenate and to cooperate with all of the things that are going on today simply because it's popular. If you dare to speak out, you're a renegade. Christ was a rebel. He wasn't a rebel without a cause. He had one. He was a rebel without a home to lay his head. And if you will pick up your torture stake, or if you cross everything that is not correctly according to the law of Yahweh, you will find yourself in the minority. But ladies and gentlemen, just because all of the world is screaming that you're wrong, and very few are saying you're right, should we give up right to join the wrong? I don't think so. Did you know that Yahweh set a day in which he will judge by his law? And the Bible said he's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel and obey not his commandments. Are his commandments grievous? And when they heard the law, they separated from the mixed multitude. Now, why would he want us to separate? Well, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 40 through 42, let me give you the reason. This is the diabolical plan of an enemy of the seed of Yahweh. Did you know that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, 14, that there will be a continuous, ongoing war that would rage between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan, Lucifer? And you say, well, I didn't know there's two seeds. I thought we all came from Adam. See, that's the first step of deception. Genesis chapter 3 is written prophetically and spoken amazingly according to Matthew chapter 13, where Yahweh himself talked about somebody that sowed a tare in Genesis chapter 3. Well, it certainly wasn't Adam. It certainly wasn't Yahweh. But it was someone that was banished from the heavens. There was war in heaven, and I gave you that. And if you'll go to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find out, and the 17th chapter, you'll find out for the reasons why that we had what we call the war in heaven. And I'll get into that later on as we do this series in the context of the reason for the war. There is a genetic war raging right now, and Yahweh's people are losing the war. Now let me remind you, there was a war in Genesis chapter 6, and Satan was winning that war. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back. You're listening to The Shepherd's Call, part 2, coming up. Stay with me.
To show the way from earth to the state, my death to pay from the state to the grave.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you lift his name on high, you'll hear his word. Those that obey me, he said, I'll show you the secret way. And the secret way is getting your right mind back, because the devil come to pervert it. He come to tell you everything was fine. He come to tell you that we're just one big earthly family. Let's look at Daniel. And where is it thou sawest iron mixed? There's the same word, ladies and gentlemen. That is Norki, that is used in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, Nehemiah 13 and 3. Mixed with miry clay, that's the component parts of the physical body. They shall mingle themselves. That word mingle is the same word as mixed. They shall mix themselves with the seed of man. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That's Babylon. A mixture nations run and controlled by a miscegenated people, a race of mixed people. Now, let's go to Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8 and show you that Yahweh's people are prone to. Now, when I say prone to, I am telling you that Satan and his wisdom is to miscegenate and mix the house of Israel out of existence. That's Satan's plan, and it's always been a genetic war, ladies and gentlemen. Hosea 7 and 8, Ephraim, that is the blessed birthright house of Israel, he hath mixed, that same word is applied, himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. That means that Ephraim is the race of mixed people, and when they mix and miscegenate, then comes destruction. As it was, Noah was the only righteous man. As we read in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, he found Noah perfect in his genetics. That word generation has been altered or adulterated and taken away. If you was to put the proper word in Hebrew back there, you see it means genetics. Noah was perfect in his genetics. He was a descendant from Adam, a son that Yahweh created special, you are a special people that showed blood in the face. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the law of Yahweh which I command you. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Be sure of this, as it is expressed in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 in the original Greek, that no miscegenator or manser or one that is covetous, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians 5:5. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom? Be not deceived. Neither those who miscegenate, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That's those who mix the blood. Nor those who are effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Enter you at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go thereon. Matthew 7:13. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. How? Honor your father. You've brought his genetics into your body. Pass them on to your offspring and do not commit adultery. Do not adulterate the blood. Mark 10:19. Heaven and earth will come to an end and pass away before one jot or one tittle fails in the law of the Torah. And that is in Luke 16:16 and verses 17. But do we make void the law through faith? By no means. We establish the law. Romans 3:31. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And if we go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and read the first 8 verses, we'll find that Yahweh, when he brought them into the land, warned them not to miscegenate, not to give their sons or their daughters to the strangers in the other countries. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our country is open and the sky's the limit. Did not King Solomon sin by these things? Yet among the nations was there any king like him in all his glory? But, ladies and gentlemen, the sin overthrew him as he began to love many foreign, nor key, Strong's number 5237, look it up, women, and caused him to sin and turn away his heart from Yahweh. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 26 through 27. I would suggest you read the whole chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and when you finish it, read the 9th chapter of the book of Ezra, and when you finish it, turn into the New Testament to see that this continues even to this day. The warning is there by the Messiah in Matthew chapter 13, where he spoke and talked about the tares being sown in the field. The field is the world. He that sowed the good seed, that was Yahweh. From the sons of Adam, Yahweh began his people, my people. My people which are called by my name. A special people and a holy people, and not to miscegenate or mix with any other blood upon the earth. But Satan, in his cause of war, and the Bible says that Satan will bruise the heel of man. How does he bruise it? By putting the vicious blood bite of the serpent's false doctrine, the lies. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever seen a bruise, a snake bruise, after he's bitten, and this poison gets into the bloodstream, this is the genetic curse of miscegenation. It will bring about a blood that is not original and unrecognized by Yahweh. So then, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1, you will find that Solomon was defeated in his greatness through the love of many Norki, or strange foreign women, that turned his heart away from Yahweh. Did you know that America has been turned away as a Christian nation? We can't even pray and acknowledge our Savior, Creator, anymore in this nation. You say, well, I have a right to worship and go where I want to. Yes, but you've got 40 other assemblies in your same community that's praying to strange gods. And ladies and gentlemen, light and darkness has no fellowship. And yet we are just trying to pretend that we're one big happy family. We're living in an illusionary world, and that ought not to be. But say to the rebellious house, to the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh, O house of Israel, let there be an end to your abominations in admitting foreigners, the Norki, the uncircumcised in heart and flesh, to be in my sanctuary, profaning it. When you offer to me my food, the fat of the blood and the broken, when you have broken my covenant, and in addition to that, you have committed all these abominations of miscegenating. Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 6 and 7. For thus saith Yahweh, no foreigner, no uncircumcised, shall be among the children of Israel. In Ezekiel 44 and verse 9. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's exclusive. It's not inclusive, as the 5013 would, if you sign on to that, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the Babylonian mix of the mark of desolation placed in the temple, and that is miscegenation. That is your abomination that causes the desolation of the blood, the royal blood. Because an Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh to the tenth generation, nor shall they enter into the congregation of Yahweh forever. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. And a bastard race, ladies and gentlemen, shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 6. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beriah the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which was a grief unto the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. Genesis chapter 26, verses 34 through 45. Ladies and gentlemen, it grieved our fathers. And today, Isaac and Rebekah would be appalled if he was to resurrect Noah and his sons and their wives and bring them right back. They would swore they'd never died. Because the same situation in the days of Noah, he would figure he had never left. He'd just see a different generation of people, a different set of societies, but with the same old spirits doing the same old thing, and that was to cause the people. In Ezra chapter 9, verse 1, and ladies and gentlemen, I've got to come to a close here. My time is coming on, and I'm just getting started in this message tonight. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel, and the priest, and the Levites, there's the prophets today in these bell boxes, ladies and gentlemen, have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even to the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Ezra 9:1. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you got my message. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves. Let me give you the second verse of that chapter of Ezra 9, and I suggest you read it for reference. They have done these things, the people of Israel. They have not separated themselves, it says, and they have mingled the holy seed among the daughters of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians. They have mingled the holy seed. Right there it is, ladies and gentlemen. It was a sin and abomination to commit adultery. And yet today, everybody thinks, well, if you marry a wife and you go out on her, you've committed adultery. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what that word means. Adulteration of blood. Israel could have as many wives as they could afford in honorable fashion, and they were to do so to bring forth sons and daughters. You see, the plan of Satan is to get you. That's why that they hate those who love the truth. And the Bible said they shall hate you if you love Yahweh. Well, you're listening to the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy, and I've enjoyed being with you tonight. You can write me tonight at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824, and that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. You can call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, at 1-877-289-7439, and Brother Paul at 1-800-253-2748 for STEM Tech. Ladies and gentlemen, we are moving right along in time, and be sure you don't want to miss next Sunday night on WWCR 5070 Around the World with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We'll have a part two of the miscegenation of the nations. It is genetic suicide happening all over again, and the prophets of truth will warn the people. Come out of her, my people, out of Babylon. What was Babylon doing? Encouraging the mixing and the mingling of the seeds. Ladies and gentlemen, I know in whom I believed, and I hope and trust that you know in who you believe. If you would like to tune us in next Friday night, I'll be on WWRB 3.185. On Clear Channel, WWRB 3.185, with the Scotchman, Brother Randall. And we give you some hard-hitting factual information of the current events of the day. And we invite you to tune us in at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WWRB 3.185. And next Saturday night on 3.185, again at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Pastor Buddy will be back with you on the Shepherd's Call on WWRB. We're having a meeting on August the 1st and the 2nd in Etowah, Tennessee. There'll be a two-day meeting there beginning on Friday night at 7:30, and all day Saturday we'll be meeting. And if you'd like to come, just write for directions or call for those particulars, and we'd be glad to give it to you. So join us then, if you can, there in Etowah, Tennessee. That's about 70 miles south of Knoxville, Tennessee, and it's about 70 miles north of Chattanooga, and it's on Highway 411. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. There's the old clock on the wall. It's caught up with us, but we love you. And we'll see you next Sunday night.